the Runner's Diary podcast with Brian and Damien.
Welcome to Runner's Diary, episode 86. I'm Damien.
And I'm Brian. On this week's show, we'll have all the latest news, all of last week's results, featured fixtures.
And this week, we catch up with Mick Fox. That's all to come on this week's episode of the Runner's Diary podcast. This podcast is brought to you by Pillar Performance.
Pillar Performance brings you the very best in sports micronutrition.
Hydration and fueling products will take you to the finish line, but Pillar will get you to the start line in your best condition over and over again.
As a Runner's Diary follower, you can avail a 15% discount online by using the promo code RUNNERSDIARY15 or go in store to the Edge in Kinsale Road, Cork, and mention this code at checkout when buying a Pillar Performance product. Okay, welcome back for another week. An incredible past week for us there. We obviously got great feedback on our podcast from last week. I don't know what to say about this, but I don't think, again, we've seen a podcast shared and commented on so much as this one. And I think there's certain things trending on the World Wide Web or on Twitter or X, whatever it's called now these days. Kenyan Bird is certainly one anyway.
Yeah,
we got a few comments about the Kenyan bird as a funny one there. And there's a few funny ones on it, but great interview. Actually, I listened to it myself during the week. I really enjoyed it. You know, sometimes when, I suppose for people listening, when we're doing these interviews, you know, they're all great and we find out a lot, but it's only sometimes too when we listen back ourselves, you know, how it all comes together quite well. And I think that came together nicely as well.
So Brian, as of right now, all right, so we are Sunday night at 9:24. Okay. So Anthony O'Brien, who... not the Dublin bird, is currently at ranked number 7 on our all-time listened to episodes. Now, he's a long way to go still to his own coach, but he is getting very close to, because between 6th and 5th is very close. The numbers are quite low, and you know, as in close. So he has only a few, which we will beat. But I honestly think bar or Dublin Marathon specials or from last year, he's flying.
I don't think in the first week of any podcast have we had a podcast that's listened to so much. You know?
And shared so much. Fascinating interview. And look, again, massive thank you to Anthony for, you know, for sharing it as well himself, because he shared every time, and from all his followers to share it as well. And look, that is the important thing which we would love people to do with this podcast, is when you hear an episode that you like, can you please share it to as many people as you can, because it means so much to myself and Brian and Rory and Jonathan and Andy, you know, who's involved in the podcast, to see people actually sharing the podcast and comments. We got lovely comments in, you know, on Spotify as well.
I still think it's amazing. Like, we're out there 80 something episodes now, and you're still running people within Ireland would still comment, say, I've just come across this podcast. Mm. You know, there was in the last 2 weeks, I think, between Louise Shanahan's episode, we've had a few of them. You know, we'll be listening to it more often, or we'll be listening every week from here on in. So it's good to hear that, but it's just amazing.
Do you know how bad it is, though? All right, and I only found out today. My own godchild wasn't following us on Instagram. That's how bad this is, Brian, all right?
What age is the godchild now?
He's 18 years old. So
he qualifies.
He wasn't even following us. So, like, look, people, I will say this with everybody. Please, just share it. Like our page. Like the podcast, because it means so much to myself and Brian.
Yeah, I will give one shout out actually. No, you triggered something there in my head. I wasn't going to mention this, but my friend, running friend Ken, who ran with me today, his daughter Isabel. I'll give a shout out to Isabel. Isabel commented on our YouTube and was thrilled today about it. So shout out to Isabel, a future running star for sure.
And I will give a shout out to my nephew, George Keneally.
My family for you.
George Keneally, who qualified for the Cork City Sports down in Connacht the other day. Absolutely flying it. I mean, now, first-hand information I got that he was an absolute flyer. So, George, well done.
There's someone in the family, anyone that can run.
So, George, well done. You did your father proud, and you were a hell of a lot faster than he is.
Right, how was your week in general outside all that stuff anyway?
Very good. Actually, very good, Brian. I got, you know, a nice few days of running in. I got another run in again with Jonathan this Sunday morning, which was lovely. We got 13 and a half miles in, which again is my longest run in about a year and a half, you know, and I've got three or four runs in. The other time I got a lovely run down in Ballinhassig the other day, which I thought I actually got lost at one stage. I had to stop a fella in Albrain to ask him, which way am I going? Am I going back to the town? Am I going
City
somewhere
boy in the
else?
country, huh?
Oh, I hadn't a clue. No, it was a bit. I was told it was 5K. It ended up being 4 miles, and I know that isn't so much, but it is a big difference when you don't know where you're going. But no, I went out this morning. Lovely morning, great run. Very happy with it. Legs feel way better. That's a good sign. Now, you had a race today. How was your week before we come to the race?
Yeah, a slight easing back this week. I still had a speed session during the week there, but it wasn't as intense, so kind of nailed that one as well. So officially on taper as of today, but it was all about today's race, I suppose, in the long run. And look, as I said in the last 2 weeks here, the long runs, while I still went reasonably well in them, I didn't nail them as well as I'd like to. And again, we speak about, like, it brought in a bit of doubt in my head. But look, today I went to Mallow. We can talk about that race in a minute as we get into the results. But I had a good day out. I actually did 19 miles all in, so I had 7.5 or 8 done before the race. Quick change of shoes and socks, and it was fairly misty down there. And over to the start line, and then went straight at the mile of 10, and it went really well for me. Really happy with it. So a bit of a confidence booster, if nothing else.
Excellent.
So,
Now, you mentioned socks. On our YouTube channel this week, which we just launched episode week 7 of our Cork City Marathon, and we are giving away, sorry, a lovely pair of feature socks, for two pairs for winner for someone who comments on today. Now, what socks did you wear today?
I made a debut in the features docs. Features, is it features?
Feet,
Yeah.
feet, feet, yours, yeah.
Features. No, lovely. Actually, I kind of have spent years wearing the same socks, and I made a visit to a certain sports shop yesterday, and I was advised about these lovely features socks. And I wore them today. Lovely. Yeah, nice fit. Nice.
Which way may I add, you paid for,
I
so
did pay for it. Yeah,
you know,
nice.
this is not something,
Not
this
a
is not
paid
a
promotion.
sponsored, not paid. This is Brian has paid for these.
No,
But
they were good. Like, what did you say? So, I mean, in terms of the prizes, about 19 euro they were, or
They're
something like that.
19 euros
So,
each. There's 38 euros for the two pairs is what the prize is. So again,
nice
all you
price.
need to do is head over to a YouTube channel, subscribe, and comment down below it, and then you're entered into the draw. And it's just very easy. Now, go back to our draw last week, which we had with Bodylite. Massive reaction to it. Like, it was brilliant to see. I think we had 65 people in the
I think
draw
it's a
for it.
no-brainer. Like, it's an absolute no-brainer why
Like,
people, like,
this
we
is a
have,
brilliant chance to win prizes for something so
for just
easy.
putting your name down or
Yeah,
putting a thumbs up or something like that. And
exactly.
anyway, on that subject, Conor McCrory was a winner of our Bodylite jacket, and that will go out to him, as I said, soon enough. So well done, Conor, for that one as well. We have more competitions again. So last week, our Michael Reimer Dineen 10 miler was our competition in terms of free entries for a race. So that's been held on Sunday, April the 14th. And the lucky winners of two entries to that race are Drum
Geraldine
roll.
Hartnett and John Hartnett.
So congratulations to Geraldine there and John Harden. Now, we do want to comment on something there. So last week's competition, as Damon said there, had a, you know, was it the previous week as well? We had a huge entry to the pop-up race run, I think it was. And it's the second time, I think, it's after happening to us. And look, unfortunately, it's just social media, and it happens to many, many other, it's nothing to do with us. Like, but unfortunately, our page kind of got, I'll use the word hacked, I suppose, but a
It's
lot of
but
people,
it's okay, sorry, no, Brian, quick question. It's not our page is not hacked. It's people
It's a
make
duplication of
a
a page.
duplication of our page, and they will ask you to
Click on a
open a
link.
link and then give information. We will never, ever, 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 ever ask you for anything other than us messaging going, you have won the race. Can you either send us a direct message just so that we can talk to you privately, or if we know you personally, we will get in contact with you personally. But we will never send a link, we will never send you to open anything, we'll never say, ask you for a credit card, we'll never anything. If you ever see something like that, can you please report the page because you know it's not us. And that is something that myself and
Yeah.
Brian were really annoyed at.
And to be fair, a lot of people did get onto us there during the week when it
Yes.
happened. And I actually saw it with my own club page as well. And someone else said it to me as well today that they had it on their own club page, a different club again. So yeah, it happens. But look, again, as Damon said there, you know, there is a way as we'll do it. We'll never ask it to click in a link or anything like that.
No.
Normally we direct message to people ourselves. So just, and again, if you're in doubt, just message us. If you're in doubt at all, just
Yeah.
message us and we'll deal with it there.
Exactly.
So yeah, another big competition this week. Huge competition, huge race. It's going to be, I think this is going to be, you know, a huge, huge crowd heading to Ballantoris. So it's the Ballantoris 4 mile on Thursday, April 18th. It's starting at 8 p.m. in the evening. One of the first evening races. So again, that's a good sign as well. I think it's better days and better weather ahead, I think, hopefully. So it's also, as many know, the Cork County Championships, but huge race, huge, huge event. One definitely to, if you haven't been before, it's definitely one to go to.
You wouldn't know that, but I would
Well,
know that. But
yeah.
you will know that, hopefully.
Well, I've heard, like, as I said, it just unfortunately I haven't been able to get to this race over the
No,
years,
it's
but
bright,
it's
bright.
yeah.
It is actually. I was only talking to someone the other day about it. But you're in this tiny, tiny village, all right? Literally, this village has a church and a community hall, and that is it, you know. And you walk in there, and next, all of a sudden, you are met with 1,000-odd people who are running this 4 mile race. And
Yeah.
it is a course that is as fast as you're going to get, as because one, you have an unbelievable field, always. Two, you have a fast course, but the hill is right at the start, and then it's pretty much straight or downhill after that. So this is an incredible race, and this I encourage people from all over Ireland to make this journey down to Cork for this event. And I can tell you, you will not regret it, because this is an
Yeah.
event that is unbelievable.
And I think as well, to be fair, like as you said, it always attracts an incredible field, but they cater for every single category.
Oh,
As in, like, you know,
100%,
it
yeah.
doesn't matter if you're first, last, in the middle, what age you are, you know, and there's a great community effort as well. There's a great community feel to it. And I know there's a great spread afterwards as well after the race, which is, you know, something we'll talk about later on again. But yeah, so that's our competition this week. Two entries to the Ballantoris. We'll send it, put it out there on Tuesday. As always, just comment, tag your running friend, share the post. And again, as we said earlier, we'll contact you directly. We won't be sending links to anything to let you know that you've won.
Exactly, yeah. No, so we had a poll last week. So our poll was actually, this was our most successful poll, by the way, as well. Again, I don't know, was it just because of the Andy O'Brien interview and stuff like that, which I presume had a big tail in it. But the question, I'm sorry, no, I'm just going to get exactly the poll up there. So the question we asked is, what is Ireland's favourite shoe brand? So we had Asics, Adidas, Nike, Brooks, Saucony, Hoka, and other. Brian, I don't know if you've seen the results, and I actually don't know if you have, but have you seen them?
I did have a look in the last couple of days and I was surprised and like I wasn't surprised. I expected Nike to be ahead of the posse and I think they were, but I was interested to see how many people picked the second runner.
Yeah, and I was still surprised with Nike, to be honest with you, in a bit, but because I think Nike are still probably the favourite in the super shoe. I don't know, is there a bit of a move away from Nike in the shoe below the super shoes, as in the everyday comfort shoe. So just to give the results, the winner was Nike, which had so there was 112 votes. 49 votes were for Nike. Second place was Saucony, which had 21 votes, which was 19%. Asics was third with 15 votes, which was 13%. Then you had Brooks and Adidas, which were both the same, at 8%, and then you'd Hoka at 4% and other at 4%. Now, I was surprised the Hoka being so low, because I the amount of Hokas that I've seen, I know people are wearing at the moment, is very low. I thought Asics would have been higher, is my honest answer to you. And I thought Brooks would have been higher as well. So I was kind of I was intrigued with it, to be honest with you. I
Yeah,
was
I've
looking
heard a
at
lot
it.
of talk about Saucony though, even today at the race at the start line, where there was a bit of a discussion about runners and Saucony seemed to be getting a mention. I think people have brand loyalty too, you know, like if you're wearing Nike, you kind of stick in Nike no matter what it is, even if it's your racing shoe or your everyday shoe. But it might be changing, as you said, a bit, all
Yeah,
right. But
no, it might be, and
yeah, interesting one
it's
though.
good to see it. No, I have another poll which I'm putting out this week. So my poll this week, Brian, right? And this, I've noticed this from my running for the last few days, and this is why I'm going to go with this poll. So it's simple. Do you salute other runners when you are out running? It's
This
either a
is an old debate,
yes,
wasn't it? We had this in one of our very
but
earlier
I've
episodes, yeah.
noticed it again recently that it's getting really bad again. So I've been out in the last few weeks in a few different areas and will not mention areas, and I'm saluting runners and I'm getting nothing back. So I'm asking the people of Ireland, do you yourself salute runners while you are out running? It's either a yes or a no. And that is all I want to know.
Okay. Do you want me to give my answer or will I join the
I
poll?
would, I surely know your answer.
Yeah.
It's going to be a yes.
It's a yes. Yeah.
Yeah. And
I'm that
then,
type of person, you know. I'd always be waving at
yes.
people.
Yeah, exactly. So, and I do. And look,
It's an
again,
interesting one.
I would presume a lot of people will say yes, but I want you to actually think, and I mean this, think of this now, honestly. Sit down and go, do you salute runners actually as they pass by? Because
Yeah.
from what I'm seeing at the moment, this shouldn't be 100% yes. And that's
Yeah,
all I'm
but
going to
will
say.
people say that?
But will
Do
people
people even
say,
realize it themselves? Maybe. I don't know.
yeah,
Yeah.
100%. But look, that's why we put this out there for.
Bit of fun. Bit of fun. Yeah. Big shout out to, look, again, too many to mention here, but there was some great action there during the week in the European Masters. So just again, a huge well done to everybody who took part, who medaled, who I think have set some new records there as well. So again, huge show. I did see one or two of those races, in fairness to Joe Goff, Evergreen. Joe Goff had an amazing run there and powered home again, which I think was a new record, if I'm not mistaken. But again, just look, a shout out to everybody. Great to see people still, you know, putting in the effort and, you know, still have that competitive streak as well.
And again, and I will say this, okay, people, anybody who wants to send us in requests like that for this, because look, you know, we missed results and stuff like that, send them in to us and we will make sure people get called out, because you know there is a lot of individuals in that. But if you want certain individuals that you are actually really appreciative of, to send in, and we will give it a shout. Barclay Martins.
Yeah, Barclay Marathon is incredible. Where do we start here even? It's been like, I'm a
It
big fan
was
of the Barclay Marathons, have been for
it was
years.
too easy, Brian. To cancel it,
Well,
too easy.
yeah, funny enough you say that,
I
because
joke, honestly.
no, but I just like it was almost portrayed that way. Like, I've even last night again, I just typed in Barclay Marathons into YouTube and just watched stuff come up after. And like the conditions, when I say this now, the conditions are ideal, but like the conditions are as good as the, like, sometimes the weather is the element, in terms of you go from extreme snow, wind, rain,
Yeah.
heat. I think it was fairly doable in terms of weather this year.
Brian, just a quick one for people who don't know. The Barclay Marathons is five loops of pretty much a marathon, and you climb Everest twice with the elevation over the whole lot of it. So this is how this race, because there's a lot of people who don't know what this is.
With no GPS or no guidance either, really.
Yes.
You look at a map and you take your notes off the map and off you go. And like, you see some of the pictures of some people's legs after they're like, it's through brambles and rough terrain and you name it. So, and again, you're very limited on what you could, you're given a watch, which is, I think, is a very basic watch. You get to a station that has water, you know, that you fill your water. It's like, look, there's loads of documentaries out there about it.
But the
It's,
results this year, for the first
yeah.
time
So
ever, for the
I'd
first
say,
time
God help the
ever.
people who are in it next year, because
Oh,
I'd say,
100%. I said that. I sent Brian sent a message and it goes, God help next year, because that's it. There was five finishers this year, which there's been 20 ever, and this year is five.
Five, yeah. Five is the most that has ever got to the finals. Well, actually, wasn't there seven started, I think, the final loop, but I think only five finished. But five finishers, incredibly. You know, the talk isn't about the winner or the first person home, like Jared Campbell. You've John Kelly, who has finished it three times now. You've Jared Campbell, who finished his fourth time, which is unbelievable, because, you know, it's just, I think there's only actually 17 individuals, because those guys account for a couple of the finishers. But the story of the event is about a woman, and the woman's name is Jasmine Paris, and she comes from Scotland, I believe. was unlucky last year. She got four loops done last year, but came back this year and completed the whole event. And she's the first woman to ever do so with 90 seconds to spare, which is
that's bananas.
Unbelievable.
In
Yeah, you're running for 60 hours. Yeah.
60 hours and you 90 seconds to get it by. Like,
yeah. The
madness.
Footage, though, and the pictures were just incredible. Like, she literally collapsed at the line and, you know, a bit of concern for at one stage, I think. But I'll tell you one thing, though, like, sometimes in sport, even in running or any sport, really, I suppose, but sometimes in sport, things happen that transcend across, you know, global news. And I think it was a moment, you know, there's moments happen where, you know, I saw on Facebook last night, people were sharing it who aren't even runners, you know,
yeah.
And just, you know, you see it in stories of CNN News or BBC News, mm-hmm. or whoever it was. Like, it was one of those moments, because even to be fair to, yeah, Laz Lake, who's the main guy there, Gary Cattrall is his real name, I think. But he has been calling out for the last couple of years. I think he was nearly taunting women to say it will never be done. I think he was playing his part in trying to get a first woman over the line, but he had been interviewed a couple of years saying that a woman wouldn't do it. So I don't think he did that in a bad way. I think he did it to kind of get the women to do it, you know?
Yeah.
So incredible.
Oh,
Yeah.
Incredible.
Absolutely
So
incredible.
Unbelievable. And like, I encourage people to go and watch the documentaries because it is unbelievable.
Yeah.
Brian, briefly, fundraiser. Can you give us an update on it?
Very briefly. Yeah. So we took another step forward this week. So as we spoke on last week's podcast, we've involved a local school. To me, Bowie National School, I got absolutely loads of designs and drawings during the week. I can't remember how many. There were 70 plus anyway of people who had kindly made an effort to design our t-shirt that we're going to use in the event. We now have shortlisted them, and we're working with the design company to pick a winner, and we'll probably be announcing that inside the next week or so, and it will be all guns blazing. Then we'll get the t-shirt designed and we'll really launch this event once and for all.
Yep, I actually can't wait for it, because it gives you a bit of a buzz, you know, to see all these things. So well done to Bowie National
Oh no,
School.
definitely. Yeah.
Really appreciate all their.
And actually, we were talking to the charities. Yeah, we were talking to charities as well, and they're thrilled, and they're like Breakthrough Cancer rightly behind it as well. So they're looking forward to getting behind this as well. So, okay, that's a lot. We covered a lot there in the news and bits and bobs there. So I think we'll move on to the results section.
The results section, of course, is sponsored by Wellbeing Coffee from Glanmire and Neptune. So next time you're in Glanmire or in around Neptune Stadium, make sure you pop in for an old coffee or a hot chocolate. And no, they do a little bit of hot food as well. So it's no excuses not to go there for your run. So make sure you come down there and pop in and give them all a big shout out as well for it. No. So we'll go to the IMREF race first, which, thanks to Mags Hassett, who's going to give us a little breakdown of the results from the Torquewood Trail race today. Over to you, Mags.
Mags here from IMREF Munster with the race report from the Torquewood Trail race on Sunday, the 24th of March. This is the sixth race in the Munster Quilter Winter Spring League. With 97 race entries, the race had a roller coaster route with plenty of twisting and turning through this beautiful undulating woodland. The winners of the long course, 8 kilometres, elevation 300 metres, were female 1, Carl Finn, 2, Michelle Kenny, 3, Faye Ridden, male 1, Nick Hogan, 2, Conor McElroy, 3, Michael Furlong. The winners of the short junior course, distance 3.2 kilometres, 110 metres elevation, were female Kira Meldrum, male Derek Kelleher. Massive thanks to RD Joe O'Leary and all his volunteers, who again braved the rain so we all could enjoy the beautiful Torque Woods race. The next races on the IMREF Munster calendar are Seafin Uphill Race on Friday the 12th of April and Seafin Challenge on Sunday the 14th of April. Both these races are part of the Euro Trials, and Sunday's race is the last race in the Winter Spring League.
And thanks to Mags for that again. Brilliant.
Cara Finn again, Michelle Kenny again. Yeah.
Yeah, no, in fairness.
Nick Hogan.
Yeah. It's like, but it's such a hard races. And to be able to go out week in, week out, and to run these races and to show, you know, the results of it. You're going to have Keely coming up soon enough again, who does a lot of IMRA races. Like, it just gives you massive strength. And I think it's brilliant. And in fairness to Mags and all the team in IMRA, Robbie Williams and all of them, you know, a massive thank you to all of them who are, you know, putting on a great show week in, week out, and sending us on the race reports as well for it.
Yeah, absolutely. With that, we'll keep it going, and we'll move to Lindy Naughton next. There's a lot of action around the country there. Dunboyne 10K, which was the national championships, Wicklow Gaelbrake half and 10K as well, which saw good runners there. So over to you, Lindy.
Hello, everyone. Race of the weekend in Leinster was undoubtedly the Dunboyne 10K, which attracted an entry of over 1,200 and incorporated the All-Ireland 10K championships. As you probably all know by now, the winners were two Munster athletes, Sean Tobin of Clonmel AC and Shona Heaslip of Unreacht AC. After the start, Tobin, who's due to make his marathon debut in London next month, quickly built up a 10-metre lead, although Pierre Merton of Dublin City Harriers, who had won the Port Leash 5K a week earlier, did his best to catch him. In the end, there was just 4 seconds in it, with Tobin winning in 29 minutes, 17 seconds, and Merton second in 29 minutes, 21 seconds. Third was Emma Jennings of Dundrum South Dublin in 29.44, which meant three men broke the half hour, a rare occurrence in Irish road races these days. Even more dramatic was the women's race, with Heaslip winning in a personal best and course record time of 32 minutes, 49 seconds, and six women breaking 34 minutes. Anne-Marie McGlynn of Letterkenny was second in 33.10, and Fiona Everard of Bandon AC third in 33.22. Everard, by the way, competes in the World Cross Country Championships next week as part of a small Irish contingent. In the national team competition, Rathfarnham WSAF proved best of the 40 senior men's teams entered, followed by Clonmel Harriers and City of Derry Spartans. Tullamore Harriers took the women's senior title ahead of Dublin City Harriers and Metro St Bridget's, with 32 teams entered, none of them from Munster, by the way. The Clane men and the Raheny women took the over 35 titles, while at over 50 level, perennial winners Mayo AC again proved best of the women, with Inishon AC from Donegal best of the men. With most Dublin parks off limits to club and community organised races, the Business Houses Athletics Association found itself a new venue outside the Dublin border at the Mead Echo Park, a venue known to many from Ireland's Fittest Family TV show. This was true cross country, an undulating 2 kilometre lap navigated three times with more than its fair share of mud. Daniel O'Brien, a welcome new face in Business Houses running, pushed the pace from the start and finished in 21 minutes, 57 seconds for the 6K. Laura MacDonald finished seventh overall and first woman. Just 70 turned up for this excellent event, which makes us wonder whether cross-country running is dying a death. In the past, middle and long-distance runners toughen themselves up by running cross-country. Now they go indoors. Could that be a possible reason for the lack of depth in middle and long distance running in this country? Masters athletics, however, is thriving, and at the European Masters indoors in Turun, Poland, Ireland finished seventh on the medals table with 23 gold medals in all. Two of these went to Annette Keeley of Raheny Shamrock, who won both the W55 3000 metres indoors and the cross country outdoors. Joe Goff of West Waterford won the M70 800 metres and 1500 metres, while Anne Woodlock of Donore Harriers won the W85 3000 metres and 1500 metres. In the sprints, Clonmel's Adele Maguire won both the W65 60 and 400 metre races and finished third in the 200 metres. Well done to all members of the large Irish team in action. In the hills, Emma Stewart, an Irish ultra runner who was the first woman at the 350-kilometre Tour des Géants in Italy last year, returned to her native soil to finish first woman in the Maurice Mullins 51K in County Wicklow with a time of 5 hours, 5 minutes and 11 seconds, despite the wet, windy conditions. Overall winner was Barry McAvoy in 4 hours, 33 minutes. Finally, we have to mention the supreme endurance performance of the past week, and it didn't come from an Irish athlete. Last Friday, Jasmine Paris from England, who in 2019 beat Ian Keith, among others, to set a new overall record in the Spine Ultra in Northern England, became the first woman to beat the Bugle when she finished all 5 loops of the Barclay Marathons in under the 60-hour limit. we can but stand back in awe. That's it for this week's vote.
Okay, thanks again, Lindy, for an excellent report. And I suppose we just won't just gloss over, but again, a great win for Shauna Heaslip and Sean Tobin at the National 10K as well, which looked like a great race.
Women's race was a great race.
Mm-hmm.
Great race. Very close. You know, you had Anne-Marie and Fiona as well involved, who were very close behind as well. You know, and it just shows, no, actually, the women's races are getting a lot closer. Like, Shauna, you would have thought in your head would have been, you know, no, push right up, but Anne-Marie McGlynn is really pushing
and
on. Some, Fiona
she's having, Anne-Marie's having a good few weeks, isn't she?
Anne-Marie right behind that as well. So, like, it is brilliant racing. And, of course, Sean Tobin, not a great race by him. So, well done to everyone in that. And, again, a national championship is the pinnacle.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so closer to ourselves, we move to another very big race. So the Mallow 10 took place today. And again, we're recording this on a Sunday. So Mallow, just fresh from that one, 1,005 finishers. I think there was over 1,200 registered in total. So again, a very good showing there. And first home there was Peter Samba from Dunboyne SC in a time of 50-50. Second, as you'll hear, in the same time, Sean Doyle, 50-50 from Cork City SC. Third, Conor McCauley from Leavitt SC in a time of 52-34. In the ladies' event, Niamh Moore was first lady home in a time of 58-30 from Leavitt. Second, Keely Teaswell from Clonmel SC in a time of 59-05. And third, Noemi Ludek from Grange Fermoy in a time of 64 minutes. Now, that's another finish with two people crossing at the same time. We've had, I think, three of them now in the past couple of weeks.
And I've seen the video of it, but I couldn't see the finish line of it. Like, how close is, I know it sounds silly, but like, how close is 50-50, you know, are we?
I'll tell you a funny one, actually. I met someone after the race who was 20 feet, like there was people obviously standing in the build-up to the finish, who was 20 feet away from the finish line, who thought Sean Doyle had one. And I said, no, like, Peter Samba's after it. She was like, no, I thought Sean. No, Peter Samba. So you can see in the celebration, like, obviously I was way, way behind the two of them, so I didn't see it. But you could see Peter start making that. It's like, you know, the Tour de France when they raise their hands in the air. Peter just obviously must have known he got the slight step on Sean, but they did have the same time. So great to see. I mean, again, if you're hosting a race and if you're a race director and you've, that's what you want to see, you know.
Oh,
and to be fair, like Conor McCauley and Paul Maloney, again, like, they were all pretty much packed together quite close there up to the last couple of 100 meters, I suppose.
Yeah, and again, with the ladies there, you had Niamh Moore and Keely, who was, you know, very close to each other as well, you know. So, like, it's lovely seeing these kind of races that come down to the last mile or 2 miles or whatever like that as well.
Yeah. Niamh in good form as well, winner of the Bantair 5-miler a couple of weeks ago, and now back again there at Leavitt. So, well done. But overall, a fantastic race. It wasn't the nicest. No, actually, it was perfect running conditions in terms of no real wind, you know, and no, it was cool enough. Mm. Slight miss there, but well done to. I went out and started my, like, the race started at 12:30, and I started my own. Like, as I said, I built in a good few miles beforehand. I think I started at 11:15 myself. There was already stewards well out in the course at that stage, and it was fairly dirty even then, you know. So,
but this race is always a very popular race for people who are doing Boston, London, Manchester.
Manchester,
I do think they take this in mind with the stewards out earlier, because there's a lot of people who do 20 mile runs in this, so they do 10 miles beforehand and do this. So, you know,
yeah, I met two of them. Well, even on my way to this morning, I met on the road, and I was starting early myself, but I saw Vivian Foley and another guy passing there early on as well. So yeah, a lot of people were building miles for sure. Yeah. The one other thing I'd say as well, in fairness to Mallow SC, you know, they bring in, because, you know, the roads are, they're busy. It's a busy spot, you know, Mallow itself is a busy spot, but obviously the 2 or 3 miles travels along the main Cork to Killarney Road by the Cork race course there. And they have to bring in an outside management company, a traffic management company to control it. And I know how much that is. I won't be saying a hair, but it ain't cheap. And to put on the race that they do, and you know, to manage that is, you know, hats off completely to them. It's an excellent race. You know?
That's mad. It's in fairness, it's brilliant. But look, well done to everyone. You happy? I know we haven't spoken about it briefly, like, how was your race?
Yeah, very happy with it. I thought Paul Maloney might give out to me, but I saw him at the finish line. He was happy as well. But my plan was to get the 8 miles in beforehand, kind of a steady progression run, and then run the 10 miles at marathon pace. But again, for anyone who ran today and for those who know the Mallow route, like I started off, the first 2 miles are slightly, uphill. So I kind of went off hand enough. But then you have a downhill section, a lovely downhill section on the main Cork to Mallow Road. And it was down low 620s and picking, but I never eased off and I actually felt it comfortable like all the way through. Like, I was 20, 30 seconds ahead of my marathon pace and did it well. And even in the last mile, which is slightly uphill again, I actually was pushing on. So I'm delighted. It was, I needed that. I needed a bit of a confidence booster. I don't know where it lets me, but it ticks another box.
Okay, so briefly, before we move on, we got a question on a YouTube video about pacing. All right, and sticking to your paces. You were supposed to go marathon paces, and yes, you went down the first couple of miles, but then you went nuts. Obviously, 30
Well, I did.
seconds is an awful lot. Sorry,
Twenty,
no,
twenty,
you just said
maybe
30
fifth,
seconds.
maybe
You
15
said,
even.
sorry, no, Brian, you said 30 seconds just
It
there,
was a
right?
downhill section.
Okay, you said 30 seconds. 30 seconds is an awful lot in a mile. No. This is where, and look, I'm not, this is discipline where it needs to come in sometimes, and you do need to do these races, and these will be included in your training plan very shortly, where you go to races and you need to be a bit more disciplined than Brian is.
No, you see,
Brian's very forgetful at his age, and he forgets what
don't
paces
you worry.
going
When it
at.
comes to the marathon, I'll be very disciplined like I was in Dublin last year, and I'll nail the pacing up to as far as I can and hopefully all
So
the way to
sorry
the
about
finish.
that
But
then.
today, before you go on anymore now, today was about the head and getting the head right. And when I felt comfortable, and I still feel good. And as others, I joke with you, as others, you see, as others are out celebrating their runs today, I was at home doing flat pack, putting flat packs together. So that's your rest and recovery, So the joys of,
Yeah,
married with kids and all that. We don't
that's it.
get to
That's
recover in the same way. But
exactly
I get
right.
your point. Your point is valid.
I
But
know it. I know.
I needed a good run for the head today.
I
Yeah.
do agree with that sometimes. Right. Okay. Let's move on.
We won't fall out.
Beat your fixtures. Let's move
Feature
to them.
fixtures. Yep. So our first one up is the pop-up races series again, and obviously we're moving on to race number two there. So that's the Streets of Kilkenny 5 kilometer, and that's coming up on March 28th, so next weekend. Again, I believe it's another super race, and one to go for if you're looking for a fast time or a good event even. There's loads more as well in that series. We won't call them all out. We'll call them out as they approach. But again, check out popupraces.ie, the Puget series there for the full list of events in that one.
Yeah, the next race is the sold out Killarney Valley 5 mile race, which takes place on Good Friday, March
We
the
did warn
29th.
people.
Yeah,
Yeah,
and
we did
6
warn
p.m.
people.
And it is gasping. The amount of people I've spoken to going, I think I'm going to do the Killarney race. And you're like, lads, that sold out about a few days ago. And trying, oh, Jesus. So,
Yeah.
you need to sign up for these races because this race is going to be
It's ideal.
hot.
Yeah,
It
it's
is
ideal.
just going to be so much fun and so good, and I honestly wish them all the best because they put a lot behind this. They put a lot of work to close down Killarney for 5 miles in a race on a Good Friday. Hats off to them. Best of luck to them, and I honestly mean that because, as I said to you last week, Brian, I would be down at this race except for the fact, unfortunately, I have to work, so I cannot be down there. This race is one that is going on my calendar for next year 100%.
Just going on your calendar. You're not going to go and run, but it's just going on your
100%
calendar,
is
is it?
going to
Yeah.
the
Okay, another big one, and again another one. I think that's we seem to be rolling here with 10 mile road races at the moment. Obviously, we had John Tracy, we had Mallow, Cove is coming up as well. But this is another big one, the Michael Reimer Dunedin AC 10 mile road race that takes place on Sunday, April the 14th. Again, it takes in some of the Limerick race course, so great a novelty to it as well. But again, best of luck to everybody with Dunedin AC. That's 11 a.m. on Sunday, the 14th of April, what promises to be another big attendance there. It's a plenty big prize money. Again, I think they're giving prizes for the top five, male and female, and again, they have category prizes as well. So again, very best of luck to everybody involved with Dunedin AC.
And next one is Ballantora's 4 mile road race, which of course is our feature fixture competition this week, which takes place on Thursday the 18th of April at 8 p.m. Look, we've spoken enough about this. I won't go on about much too much. Just get down to it. Eventmaster.ie is the place to sign up. Do not miss this as much as you can. Get down there. You will not regret it.
Yep. Next up is the Bandon AC 5K, and that takes place on Thursday, April the 25th at 7:30 p.m. Again, we spoke about this one in the last couple of weeks. Funding is for a 400-meter track, which obviously is very popular at the moment in terms of conversation around the place. So that would be great to have another track around. So that's Bandon AC 5K on April the 25th at 7:30. So again, get down to Bandon. There should be a great race as well, I'd say.
Next race is a big one. This is the one though everybody needs to get to. The Carignaveagh GAA 5K, which took place on Wednesday, May the 1st. And the reason you need to go there is that I'm going to be there.
Is it in your calendar, or are you actually going to
No,
be there?
I'm going to be there. This is my first race of 2024 and my first race in I do not know how long. When was the last St. Catherine's 5K race? I don't know what date that was. So this is I'm actually looking forward to this. I've done this race years ago and I've now decided this is going to be my first race back. So it's the Carignaveagh 5K race. It's held with Carignaveagh GAA, but obviously Carignaveagh NLS Club is also hosting it as well. So get out there, support this race. This is, we've had Carignaveagh before ourselves, Brian.
Good club,
Carignaveagh are a great club, not a good club, a great club. And I encourage people to get out there and support them as much as they possibly can because I think it's going to be a great race.
Yeah, and then of course after that, we have the Rebel Diamond Series. So again, we've already had a very successful race, one of the Rebel Diamond Series, with Mount Hilary Bantyre 5 mile road race. Next up is the Drumahan 5K, and that's going to take place on the 20th of April. Again, there's big interest in that one as part of the series. So again, Drumahan 5K, it's Saturday evening, 20th of April. Well worth attending. Good host club there again. They put on a great spread afterwards again. And obviously after that, the Boyne 5K, my own club that I'm involved with, on the 12th of May. We'd be delighted to see a big attendance there. And closing off the following week then on the Friday evening is Buttermount AC with their 4 mile road race. Nice loop on that race as well. So
And I will say, if anyone wants to go to the Boyne 5K race, right, there's a number of reasons to go down there. One, extremely fast course. Two, very well organized in fairness by a certain Brian Ahern. And also, now, Andy and Mary will be at this race also. So if you want to meet pretty much nearly all of the Runner's Diary podcast crew, there's a possibility majority of us could be at this race.
is this one in your diary or your calendar, whatever you want to call it?
This is
Not
very,
yet.
this is no, this is very much in my diary. I wouldn't say it's written down. We need to
Okay.
get Rory and
We won't
Jonathan.
stretch. We won't. Yeah, you might be retired again after the Carignaveagh 5K, so we'll wait till that passes first. Yeah.
We have to
Okay,
get
but
you
yeah, that's
one
closing
first.
off our. That's closing off our featured fixtures for now. So again, thanks to everybody who's been contacted. We have one or two more actually in the last day there that we'll be adding to that as well. So again, thanks to everybody who contacted. If you want your race featured and are willing to give away a prize for that one, we'll call it out weekly, no matter how long it takes, right up to the day of the race. So again, thanks to all the clubs and events there that contacted us.
Right, so we move on to our interview this week, which of course is sponsored by Shoe Rescue. Now, Brian, I think we might make this a segment going forward, right, with Shoe Rescue. So I've now come up with a new idea, is also that I can use in the future for my empty tub of Shoe Rescue. All right, so I happened to be out earlier today and is watching a bit of golf. So now I've decided the next Shoe Rescue that I finish, I'm going to empty it, obviously, and then I'm going to use that as a for my putting. I'm going to put into my grass, right? Dig down, and that is going to be the hole that I'm going to use for my putting. All right. Now, these are the things, Brian, you need to be thinking about with Shoe Rescue, right? All right. It's going to take me 6 months to get through this, but in 6 months I'll be nearly in winter. But You know,
They'll have to put that on their label now. You know, once you use it, you can use it as a putting hole, isn't
so
it?
much things. So putting hole,
Unbelievable.
you can use
What will
it
you come up with next? I don't
as
know.
oh look, this is going to be my new segment.
Dragon's Den.
I'm going to be
Dragon's Den,
thinking
here
of
you
these
come.
things. But no, seriously, again, Shoe Rescue, get out, buy it. Myself and Brian are very passionate about this product, and we do use it. Look, it's a no-brainer for anybody, so get out, use it, and buy it, because you will not regret it, and your partners will not, our kids will not regret it either. So, Brian, this week we have Michael Fox, Mick Fox, sorry, as he prefers to be called. Brilliant interview. Really
Great
enjoy
interview.
this
Yeah,
one.
I enjoyed it as well. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, great
Loads.
story as well. Yeah.
Oh, great story. Loads to take out of this. And I mean, there's loads to take out of this. So I encourage everybody, sit down, get a cup of coffee, cup of tea, cup of hot chocolate, cup of water. Enjoy it. And we'll see you in a minute.
Okay, this week we're delighted to have Mick Fox join us. Mick has an incredible story that we'll get into a bit later on. But you know, some runners we have talk about running, and some people have a life story. I think Mick has both. So, welcome to the podcast, Mick.
Very much, guys. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, great to have you.
It's great to have, you know, in fairness, we've had Anne-Marie McGlynn on, you know, national champion, Northern Ireland representative, now a second Northern Ireland representative in yourself as well. So, you know, you're in esteemed high ground here now.
Nice to be named amongst people like that, and I have to
That's
say,
it, it's not too bad.
know.
No, we usually start our interviews before we go into the nitty-gritty of it with our not so rapid fire questions. All right. So I'm going to throw these at you. You can give me one word answer or you can dwell on it. There's no problems. So we'll start with the first one. All right. Favorite distance? Marathon. I think that's probably an obvious one. Would you be the ultras more so or not?
Absolutely not. Tried it. Don't like it. It would be half marathon rather than marathon
Okay.
up.
Okay. Next one, miles or kilometers?
Miles.
Good.
Great. Great. Perfect. Favorite shoe brand?
Then New Balance Racing Nike.
Oh, okay. New Balance. First New
Interesting.
Balance.
New Balance. Yeah, I don't think we've heard that one before. Do you prefer training in hot or cold weather? Cold.
Yeah, well, I just don't do well too hot. Like, obviously, we'd like to meet in the middle, but if it's going to be extremely hot and extremely cold, I'll take the cold.
Okay.
Road, treadmill, trail, or track?
I do love a bit of trail though, but road, I think we have to pick one.
Yeah.
Okay. Are you a morning runner or an evening runner?
Morning, 100%.
Okay.
Yeah. I like that as well. Right, the nitty-gritty ones. Three people you would like to have a drink or a meal with, dead or alive.
I lost two best friends when I was young, so both of those, and one of my favorite sporting people is Muhammad Ali. So I would
Good.
take those three for a bite to eat and see what happens.
See where see where that goes.
Nice, nice. Your favorite book or movie?
This is so random, right? And I can't even lie because if my wife listens to this and say you told a lie. My favorite movie is Men in Black One.
It is a great
I
show, though.
have no idea why. I have no idea, but I love it.
I'm not sure what's going on here because, like, last week we had My Cousin Vinny, and now it's
No,
Men in
my
Black.
cousin Vizzy, and then the week before we had Marley and Me.
Yeah, it's gone very. The last
So.
couple of weeks, there's been a big swing in this kind of movie picks, I think.
There you
Yeah.
go. Right. The second last one. The most famous person on your contact list.
Famous for
No,
who, though?
that's what I was just about to say. This is famous to you. Do you know what I mean? So, like, some people have, which I say last week was Gary O'Hanlon. Do you know what I mean? Because Gary was obviously an Irish. So, like, it's famous to you.
Oh man. Honestly, famous. Obviously, I don't know.
That's
That's a tough one.
that's quite a
Famous.
few.
Us, no.
There you go. Ah, that's interesting because there's people in your contact list who others might see as a huge deal, where you see as a normal person, and then there's people who I see as a huge deal to me because of how I look at them in life. So Famous is a weird one. I don't know.
But that's what I mean by that is it's who is like literally the most most popular person on your phone book. That to you, not to me or Brian.
A young lad, Sean Casey, who's got pretty big on social media lately. He's a client of mine every week. We've become good friends and I'm helping him with his running and stuff. So he's huge and you probably say Famous, but I say him more as a friend. Like, so
there you go. Well, there's your answer. No, your last one.
The last one, the big one. If you could take the place of another person in their greatest sporting moment, who would it be and why?
I'm back to one of my favourite sporting people, Muhammad Ali. I loved him as a youngster. My granddad gave me like a video of him and I got obsessed with him as a kid. Muhammad Ali come through controversy and so many troubles and tough things. Won a world title at 21, lost his boxing license, got everything taken off him. The world didn't like him at that time and come back at 31 to his career again 10 years later when everyone thought he was done. And at that moment, it was huge. And I think I would love to go back in his shoes to see what that was like because he faced so much with his race and his religion and everything in between.
Yeah, second week we've had a boxer again. Oh, so yeah, just trends start to
We
appear.
Said that though. The boxing is, I just think it's the mindset of boxers is just, it's actually fascinating to watch them, to listen to, because it's all a show, even beforehand. Yeah. It's all a show, but it just makes it so, it's not so good. A few years ago, it was way better and stuff like that.
Way better,
Anyway, Mick, that's the tough part out of the way. You can relax now. You're off. The mastermind questions is over.
That was good.
I think to get into your story, though, Mick, and you're running, like, again, I think we start by saying, you know, you've done incredible things in the last couple of years. You've so many marathons under 230 and then I think down to a PB of 224. But it doesn't tell your story. And I think we got to rewind back maybe to... And I think your story is brilliant because I know so many people as well who would have been fit in their younger days and you know, into sport and then lost their way and maybe didn't come back again. Your story is very much about someone who was fit, in good shape, lost their way, but has come back again. So do you want to take us through that maybe a bit and what all, you know, your journey there?
Thanks so much for those words. That's very kind of you. Yes, I was very good as a youngster and lately, I put myself out there a bit more on social media and stuff, trying to get this story across. And you've only got short snippets of like, look, here's how we're doing. And then different people are coming back and saying, oh, you ran before. And to me, I think it's more difficult, the whole story and the journey, because when I was a young teenager, I was very good at running and probably expected to do well and move into seniors or do well. And as I moved into a senior, everything just went the opposite way. So down the building site, worked, I put on weight, I introduced alcohol in my 20s and just went so far away from it all. So coming back in my head was a lot more difficult. I went to Australia for a few years, come back like 30 kilos heavier. And trying to go back and trying to explain to people, honestly, if I trained hard, I could beat these guys. I could be good at this. I could do this if I wanted to, you know. The usual stuff you hear guys in pubs saying, like,
what was the difference? What was the gap of you finishing to, you know, the gap of you coming back? How many years was that?
You see, I came back a little bit in like 2012, but it wasn't for long and I probably didn't run too well. I probably ran like maybe 35 or 6 minutes or something for 10K. I've never gone any further than that, maybe a 17 and a half minute 5K or something. So it wasn't brilliant running. Like, I wasn't running the way I'm running now. So in 2012, then we went to Australia and we came back in 2015. And that's when it was heavy. And then from then, to try and start to lose a bit of weight, I was on a bicycle for a while and a cycle in the local cycling club. Then just when I could put my head back on the running, I entered Dublin Marathon just to lose weight because it was the only way I thought I'd run enough miles to get the weight off.
And like two questions I have there, Mick, because again, I think this is a real situation that many people face. You know, again, people who start to lose their way maybe and, you know, as you said, put on weight and find that, you know, I can't get back to the person I was or, you know, it's too much of an effort. Like, what changed for you? Like, was there a eureka moment or was it just, you know, did you wake up one day and said, you know, this has to change or what was it?
You know what it was, honestly, becoming a dad. We had our first child in 2017, and it wasn't that like 1 minute you wake up and you, oh, you're a dad, then you wonder. It just sort of give you more of a purpose. Like I didn't want to sit and tell my child that I used to be good at running years ago. I wanted my child to see me good at running. And she was born in 2017, and it was in that year that I said to my wife I was going to try and take on the marathon for the first time, which I did in Dublin 2018.
How did that go down?
great way of getting away from changing nappies and all that stuff, in fairness, yeah.
I think it sort of looked at me and was like, I don't think I'd ever done, maybe done one half marathon years and years ago, like in, oh, God knows what sort of time. I think she sort of looked at me and was like, where is this going? Or where, you know?
But we actually, we got a question, and because it ties in with this, so I'll ask it now because... is it Matteo Moo is the name on it anyway. So as a fellow dad, how does Mick keep elite marathon training balance with growing kids? So like you said back when the kids were brought up. So like how did that training fit in with family life and work life, which we come to in a second as well? You know, how did you fit all that in?
I train at 6 a.m. every morning at the latest. I'm out the door either 6 a.m. on the button or before. That's the only way I can work in our house. Now, everyone's house is different. You may work shift work, you may work late, you may work. But you've 24 hours in a day. Like, and I know it sounds like these cheesy lines that people say, and you see them. Like, one of those hours is 4%. Like, you have to find it. If you want it enough, you have to find it. At the start, I had to go running at 6 o'clock in the morning. My wife's here at home with three kids, like, so I can't work all day and come home. I can't go run in the middle of the day. So 6 o'clock in the morning was the only window where I could get 90 minutes to 2 hours every day. And that's what you do it. When I come in the door, the whole party starts, the family life kicks in there.
And when you were starting that journey back and, you know, as you said, the child arrived and, you know, you were getting back out the door again and running, like, was it just... You mentioned there signing up for Dublin Marathon and losing weight. Was that just what it was at first? And like when did it become a kind of a situation where you realized again, hey, I'm going well here again. I can start pushing on again.
No, I set myself. I always wanted to do London Marathon, and I couldn't get in obviously through ballads and stuff. I'd never done one. You never get into the ballad, so I wanted to do Dublin, and I just wanted to break 3 hours, get a good grades time. So I could then maybe later on go on to Dublin. But as training moved on after like 2 months, I was like, God, I could definitely break 3. And then it moved to 255. And then it moved to 250. Then I was talking 245. And then I was like, I could have break 240 for my first marathon. It'd be nice, you know. So it just, as training moved on and the weight fell off and the whole buzz of it all kicked back in again, like those feelings of being young. And then
Mick, did you lose it quickly? Did you lose the weight quick, or did you find it? Did it go to a point where it then became a bit of a struggle to lose that bit more?
Yeah,
because like sorry, Mick, I just cut across you. You just to say, like, you went from, I think it was a 59 kgs to 89 kgs. So the 30 about 90, we say 89, 90 kgs.
You know, But no, like for a long time, I probably raced my first Dublin Marathon in around 70. Like I didn't come down. I've only come down a lot, say, in the last year or two, like, you know, down to what I am now. But when I ran my first Dublin, I probably went from the heaviest point of 89 or in around that to 70, maybe 70, maybe 70, 75. You know, I thought I got skinny because I'd lost so much weight, but it certainly wasn't. The same day I'm now,
yeah, that makes me feel great. Yeah. That's my weight right now.
But I'm small.
I won't tell you mine. But so your first Dublin Marathon, what did you achieve there? And then as well, what I want to ask is how much effort did you put in to get to that time?
So my first one, I ran 2:40:26. I was gutted because it was 1 second per mile outside 2:40.
Yeah.
I thought at the time I was running loads. I was probably running 70 mile a week maybe, and most of it in around 8 minute mile, maybe outside it. I actually looked the other day at some of those old runs, and some of them were 8 minutes, 8:10, 8:30. Yeah. And it was the goal at that time was to make my way up to 70 miles a week. Like, and I thought then that I was training really hard, you know.
Well, you were for with a lot of people, it like wouldn't get to that level. But
Yeah.
I think what it tells as well, though, like, and I think this is the point that I was trying to get to there over the last, like, it's like muscle doesn't forget. So, like, you obviously had a talent, you lost your way a bit, but you brought it back because, and the body remembered it, I think, is surely must be there in the background.
I actually had this discussion the other day with a lad. I was out running and I said that I would love to know how much of my old running benefits me now, whether it be mentally or physically. Like,
We like
adrenaline.
I did by but like Aoife, who down in Cork, she was out of running for years, and she actually maintains that her taking that break from running actually helped her to maintain it later on in, you know, her I use the older age, it's not, you know what I mean, but as a, so like your running clock is not as long, and I know Sergio said the same as well, you know what I mean, his clock is really, really, you know, run because he's been running since he's so young, where you got X amount of breaks, so all of a sudden you had that X amount of years, you still have plenty of years before it, but now you're already catching up again.
And Gary O'Hanlon was actually the same. Gary had a break away from running for a few years too. And the likes of Tommy, oh, I can't think of
Tommy Hughes.
Tommy Hughes.
Tommy Hughes as well. Like, you know, these guys, and I 100% look at especially the likes of Gary. Gary ran 2:16 at 45. Like, I honestly feel like I'm 37. I'll be 38 now in August. I swear I feel like I'm just getting going.
But it just shows it, like running marathons are age is not that important in marathons. Like, you know, there's Vivian Foley who's there close to us. He's what is he, Viv is, I would want to put him, is he 52? Is he, you know, 53? And he's still running 2:33s, 2:32s, you know what I mean? And it's like, you know, I'd bite the hand off you for that, you know, that kind of way. So like age in marathons is not as important as it is in 5Ks.
No, definitely not.
You know, so I have another question again tied in with training. So this is from Richie J. Do you get backlash from coaches and athletes about the no speed work approach?
Yes, lots of it.
So who, no, explain it, sorry, explain it. So the no speed work, is it literally no speed work?
Do one form of speed work a week. It's a progressive run, right? And the reason for that is because I think as we get a bit older, right? I'm saying in one sentence that I'm young for marathons, but in another sentence, I'm too old for explosive track work, mile reps. I mean, not mile reps, but like 400s and 800s. And I just find my body doesn't take it, right? I think that if you do things like progressive runs, if problems are going to show their face, it tends to happen a little bit slower. If I'm out on a track doing 400 meter reps and a hamstring's nipping, or it's a little bit tight, or an Achilles, it's going to just go bang. Where, excuse me, if we're out on a progressive run and the mile splits are getting slightly quicker, slightly quicker, slightly quicker, these things are like, oh, that's a bit tight. I can back off. That's just my own thing, right? And I not that I get my back up, but I go on about this a lot because there's guys that are only starting marathon running or they're only taking it up and they're going to a track on a Tuesday night to do 400s with the local running club. And you're like, why? Why do you need to do 400 meter reps, 800 meter reps for 42K race? Your goal is to get to the finish line. So, no, you don't go into a gym and your goal is to lift 100 kilos eventually and you just put 100 kilos on the bar and walk in every day and try and lift it. And hope that someday, oh, there we go, we have it now. So I just don't understand anyone. And I'm not saying that everyone's wrong, but we spend too much time looking at professionals, looking at people like Kipchoge on the track. Oh, but Kipchoge does track sessions. He does 14 sessions a week. He's on the track probably just to change the scenery. Or he needs a sprint finish because the rest of his miles are 4:25. He needs to run a 4:15 in the last miles. You know what I mean?
But make it also just shows the importance of how everyone is so individual as well. You know what I mean? Like just because someone else is doing it doesn't mean you have to go away and do it. You know, you have to find again what works for you. Like I started running. Yes, I would say when I started out on the track. I think with the club I was with before. Like, you know, you just go. That was it. It's Tuesday, it's Thursday. That's the meeting point. You go, you do the track. No, it's great because I love the social side of it and everything like that. But at that time, I
Yeah,
wasn't doing
that's brilliant.
marathons. When I did start doing marathons, I didn't see the track as often. I used to be out in the road and you do it a lot more than that. But you have to find what suits you for it. So like your week, I know you said like training and stuff like that. We won't dwell. At the moment now, if you're in training, what is a typical week for you?
So I basically, I was going to say try to, but I do. I cover 15 miles a day. What's that, 26 Ks or something?
You can go miles.
Right, I'll go with 7 miles. So, although when people look at my training week, it'll just look like I'm out every morning running a 15-mile run. There's obviously detail in it, right? And there's I coach myself. I do my own training. I'll do a long run Sunday, which means that I will go flat and easy on Monday. Tuesday, I'll tend to go back into rolling hills. If my body feels good, I'll work the hills a little and I'll probably come home with a decent enough average. Wednesday will be a little bit more chilled again, probably down a little bit more flat, because Thursday will be a progressive run. Progressive run, I do a couple of miles out the road. I then break into 6, 8, or 10 mile progressive, couple of mile jog home, 15 or 16 mile in total. Then Friday is easy because Thursday was hard. Saturday morning is the only morning I get to run with other people. I run with a few local lads, nice and easy and chilled, because again, we're back into Sunday. Sunday long run at the moment has been 22 to 24 mile, and then we roll straight back into Monday again. So it's on average at the moment, from Christmas until now, I've averaged 116 mile a week.
And on top of that now, which I didn't realise till we got the question, and you're a massage therapist as well, is it?
Yeah.
So again, I'll add this question, because does the massage therapist profession help your running in any way, as you do know S&C? Now, I would presume you mean like that because you're on your feet all day, you know, it's obviously physical enough where you're, you know, a lot of upper body strength and bit needed in it.
Yeah. And I have found that in the last couple of years from I've been doing it, my upper body is probably in better shape than it's ever been in. And I don't go to the gym. I don't do any S&C. So obviously whatever shape I'm in, or the top half of me is from that work. But the main benefit from that work is, number one, you gain a bit of knowledge on what you're doing and how to look after yourself. Number two, it's my own business. So I have created that to allow me to train. When I'm deep into marathon training, a few of those days I go out for 6 mile at lunchtime then as well.
Yeah, interesting. And you mentioned earlier you're a week, and it seems simple enough. Like you're obviously, you know, you said you're guiding yourself around, you're designing your own training and you're bringing in hills, etc. But do you think, and you kind of touched on this already, like, because I was thinking about this myself during the week too, have we overcomplicated, like, I know, again, everybody's an individual, but as you said, like the end goal of a marathon runner is to be able to get to the end line with an average pace of whatever it is, you know, and you need to be able to do that. You know, have we overcomplicated running in some ways?
Yes, 100%. I think, again, you have to make sure and always say in your own opinion, you know, and I think a lot of us have, when you look at most people and you ask them the same question, what is your week? There's some of it I don't even know how they remember it, honestly. I don't know, the guys be setting out to do sessions and I do not know how they even remember it.
That's why Garmin's a very handy plug it into the Garmin.
You program it to Garmin, yeah.
I don't even know how to do that. They just keep it simple. Listen,
worse again is when you program into Garmin and then you go and you press the wrong button and it relays that you already started and you haven't used that session. But do you race often, Mick, in that plan? Would you get out and race regularly?
I don't, like, each year I like to do a 5K, just one. I like to do one 10K, and then the rest, half marathons and marathons. I like to do a half marathon in prep for each marathon. And it's basically just to, some people say it's to give you an idea where you're at. I like to do a half because you have to do it that bit faster. That when you go to the marathon a couple of weeks later, it kind of feels a little bit more chilled out.
Yeah.
So if I'm doing four marathons in a year, then you're going to have at least 3 half marathons plus a 5K and a 10K somewhere.
Which then all of a sudden is a lot of weeks gone, you know, because especially if you want to do a half marathon, you're going to not fully taper into it, but you're going to reduce your mileage down. So then all of a sudden you're like, in your head, you're like, oh, geez, I went from 116. Now that's a week I'm losing towards the end goal, which is the marathon. But you can't think that way, because at the end of the day, it's a good training session, and now half marathon is so important to the progression of the marathon.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So, next one. Go on our high mileage. With your high mileage, how much maintenance work do you do to help it? So, are you a foam roller? Are you a sit down with the compression boots? Or are you?
Not very. You're not a very traditionalist.
I think you're having to answer this because this is my job. I'm telling people what to do. No, honestly, like I don't do anything. That is terrible to say that. But like once every couple of weeks, you know, I'd be jumping the bath at Epsom salts, and then I obviously go get my own legs massaged like every few weeks. But that's it. Like I have a foam roller that sits in my work. I have no compression boots. I'm going to be honest and tell the truth.
I'd be the same boat as you, though. And 100%, like the theory, you know, the saying is, do as I say, not as I do. You know, that kind of, you know, so like.
Use it. Yeah.
I could open the cupboard next to me here and I'd bring out about six foam rollers to you, and none of them are ever used, because I work in a triathlon shop and it's like, oh, new foam roller, I'll buy that. I'll definitely use it. And it's like, nah, I won't.
A cup of tea on top of it.
Isn't it like any tradesman, they say, you know, like a carpenter, you know, the carpenter will do all the work, will say, but he'll never do it in his own house, or a painter, et cetera, et cetera. So yeah, maybe that's the reason.
Yeah. So yeah. No, I wouldn't worry about that. But you do long hours though, Mick, don't you? You kind of, you're flat out for a long period of time. So like sleep must be very important then for you in the evenings.
Yeah, but we've three young kids. We've a 6-year-old and a set of twin boys at 2.5. Like, so we sleep again. I go completely against the grain on everything. You know, not that we don't get much sleep, like, but for a long time there, for the last couple of years, we don't get the sleep that you should be getting.
Comes with young kids. Yeah.
Twins definitely don't help that.
No.
But they get you up early in the morning, which is good.
Yeah. Just Mick, in terms of races then, like you've done a lot of the big ones, obviously, you know, London, etc. Take us through some of the big highlights there, maybe.
London's amazing. I've always wanted to do it. I remember growing up as a kid watching it on TV, and the whole theme tune and Brendan Foster talking and world records being broke. And the first ever time I got into it, I had been training, and then my wife went in with our twins 2 months early. So for 2 months, we just sat in the hospital eating hospital sandwiches and coffee. So that race went out the window. And the twins were brought home a few days before the marathon. I flew out, jogged around, walked, cried, jogged, walked, cried. Somehow managed to get around in like 2:53 or something, just enough to get me back in the following year. And then I went back the following year and ran 2:27. So it's a special one. I really like it. My favorite's Dublin. Done Berlin, done Manchester, done Cork, done London. Done a right few, but there's nothing like Dublin. Dublin Marathon is so special. So special. It's amazing. Amazing.
It's funny because I've been on this podcast and I've said it before, so, but I've done London as well. And people who say, oh wow, London, and I would say the exact same as you, that I think Dublin is an amazing experience. I think the crowd, in fairness, helped that. But it is an amazing marathon, yeah.
It's my favorite, definitely.
You came fourth in Cork last year, wasn't it?
Yeah, Cork's brilliant marathon as well. Yeah, brilliant. Yeah, like home races.
Yeah, I was at the finish line last year for it, and I saw you coming. You had a great race last year. You know, there was a couple of the battle between yourself and Gary and Tudor and a whole lot of them little moments make races anyway as well. When you do have that little, you know, pack in the races as well.
Yeah, and myself and Gary and Tudor and Sergio, like we spend all year racing each other, like, you know. And they'll get you in one, and then you get them the next one, and that's the way it goes. Like you're good friends, and then when the gun goes, you're not for 2.5 hours, and then you can be friends again after.
Yeah, but that's everyone. Do you know what I mean? Like myself and Brian are friends on this for about an hour, and then we don't talk after that. We're the opposite.
I was just laughing there when you mentioned Tudor and Gary. We had good fun with them at the after party. So if you're back again this year, we'll have to get you to the after party this year. If we can definitely get you up and chatting to us.
I'm going to go throw another question at you. So again, So do you incorporate, and this again, we might have slightly touched on this, all right? So this is from Barry Finnegan. Do you incorporate deload weeks, so easy weeks, into your marathon training?
I did last year and the year before. I like to work off like a 4 week cycle where you go like 3 weeks progressive. So go from like 100 to 110 to 120 and then drop down for a week and usually try and have the drop down week in where you're going to race somewhere. I think that's a perfect way of doing it. Sometimes it doesn't work like that all the time because maybe different things get in the way. Like maybe you need to go 5 weeks with for a race coming up. Maybe you need to go three. At the moment, I had a bad injury at Dublin Marathon, which put me out for a good few weeks, and I only got back running at Christmas. So from Christmas until now, I haven't been very keen on taking a deload week at all. I took one to race a 5K, and that was it. Like, and I wouldn't have done that at all. So yes, I think it's good. I think it's important to do that mentally and physically. But just I'm saying that, and I also don't want anyone thinking, "Going, you're saying that, but you're doing otherwise." This is the first time I've trucked on through without doing it.
Yeah, and again, look, running is individual. You know what you do,
Yeah.
you know what I mean? So there's no problems there. So to go backwards ever so slightly, obviously, again, we like come your story is all about, you having the weight gain, the weight loss. Is there like is that the temptation come back the odd time now for, to eat, to have the few beers, to kind of go a bit nuts for a week or two and go, fuck this running, I'm going back and I'm going to do this, you know what I mean? Or are you kind of now okay?
No, look, I don't say there's no way you can deny that. I don't know what it is. Like every day, like I do joke about my wife and be like, I wake up every day and I could eat from morning to night. Probably more so when you're marathon training. Over the last few years, I have found a better routine of just like being not more strict. I'm not very strict with my diet in regards to eating super healthy. Just going with your breakfast, your lunch, and your dinner, and trying to limit your snacks. And I've started working with two guys, Sean Kinnan with Health Matters, and a girl, Alana, has nutritionist. Started working with those guys in December, just with trying to fuel myself a bit better. You know, with your breakfast and your lunch and your dinner. So I do 100% take those days and weeks where you'd love to just eat everything and eat all around you. Drinking not so much. I don't drink that often at all, probably two or three times a year max, like probably less, even less recently. So that doesn't really bother me at all, the non-drinking bit. But the food, definitely.
Well,
Just
when you've twins as well, the idea of waking up after a
wake
couple of
up, yeah.
drinks. Not
I don't know, hangovers with three kids is no good, boys.
fun.
As
No.
I know people won't be able to see because this is a podcast, but as we're talking to you, you're wearing a nice little hat there. I believe there's a hat, a famous hat that you'd like to get your hands on, and it's very timely at the moment. So a certain Lazarus Lake.
Yes.
So the Barclay Marathons, for those that don't know, is on at the moment. A very secretive race and all that. But are you into that? Or I know I just saw a post that you put up in the
I
past about
have
his
that.
hat. Yeah.
I wish. Did you see me? Yeah, I was going to say, I have his hat. I have the little hat.
Well, you
And the
got it, did
guy,
you?
and the guy, I don't know who it was, I could find out for you, but the guy that made them and sold them, when he sends it out to you, he sends you the page, a page of a book inside the hat.
Ah, oh,
Oh,
stop.
yeah. So, well, the Barclays is a mad one, isn't it?
Oh, like
Mad.
it's. I was even. I was. I'm following obviously the last day on Twitter an awful lot, and like it's Ferris is very well done. I can't remember his name, but he does it every day.
He
On
done.
and he did that, yeah.
I'm a big
And
fan,
like
yeah.
I was even. I was like, I was sending him the last. Jesus, lads, there's gonna be two fellas disqualified here for throwing rubbish at the start of the race. They're going to...
It's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a
This week
bonkers
again,
race.
yeah. This week again, I've been on YouTube because there's some incredible side spin-off stories of people who have competed. There's a very good one actually from last year. I just trickled across it there the other night. But would it be something that would interest you? Ever? No. Yeah, too mad.
Just it's the whole the endurance events. Like I definitely think after I'm done with marathons, I'll go something different and something much, much further. But I think with the something like that where you have to navigate and stuff like that, like I don't that wouldn't interest me at all. Like going around with poles and navigating maps and stuff.
And
The
like,
one,
it's the deliriousness of people. Do you know what I mean? When they're just in the middle, they haven't a clue where they are. They're just, I read one fellow who was knocking at the doors of some fellow just saying, I just want to get home.
Well, that's the guy, actually, funny enough. And again, if anybody's into that, I trickle across the other night. There's a guy that has a documentary this year, and he is the guy that last year was found wandering in some town, eating in rubbish bins and totally delusional. So for anyone who's into that, check that one out. Just type in Barclay American documentaries, I'd say it would come up. But yeah, well, then, not on your list. So,
no, not for now. No, we've too many things to tick for.
Yeah. So, you gave us a rundown of some of the marathons there. Your times, like you've got it, especially in the last couple of years, you've got a lot of them like repeatedly under 2:30 quite regularly. And then, like, you're PBing, you're going out to 2:26, 2:24, you know. Tell us about that progression, maybe.
That's the thing too. Like when I first ran 2:40, honest to God, my goal was only ever to try and run in the 2:30s. And I remember saying to my wife one day, I was like, if I can just run 2:39:59, that'll do. I'm done. I'll quit. I don't care. I just want to say I've ran 2:30 something for a marathon. And then COVID happened. So we were all at home and locked away. And that was where the whole thing kickstarted, where I began to run 100-mile weeks because I was going out for a run and I had no time restriction. You didn't have to be back for a certain time. Mm-hmm. So when I started knocking out these 100-mile weeks, I was like, whoa, I wish there was a marathon sometime soon here to see. I could definitely break this 2:40. And then my first marathon back after COVID was Belfast, and I went straight from 2:40 to 2:33. So all of a sudden then the 2:39 dream got moved to 2:29.
Yeah,
they're never happy.
You have a very good relationship, Mick, with your fellow you call your coach, who obviously had a massive motivation towards you. And like everyone has probably seen this, the fabulous picture put up, and I know you spoke about this before, but like, you know, that great picture of where you missed his PB by 1 second, and then that was the club PB as well, wasn't it, that you nearly took off of. And like, I think once you get down to the 3:33s, without even realizing it, that becomes more of an incentive to push, doesn't it, to get that extra minutes to get that target of beating him.
He's been my coach like from I was young, you know, when I was in my teenage years, and then when I went away to Australia and I got fat and come back, then it was sort of like he helped me get back on my feet and stuff. But it was like a Mr. Miyagi moment where he was like, right, we'll get you going. And he came out on a bicycle and helped you drag yourself around the roads. And then it was like, he stood back and was just like, you don't need me. I've spent 20 years showing you what to do. And then it just become this thing for the last, well, from 2018, where I phone him and I bounce off him, but I do my own thing. You know, there's even times where I phone him and say, what do you think? Should I do this? And he would say, yeah, you do that. And I would go, no, I'm not doing that. You know, but I still need him there. Like, I need him. He's my best friend, like, for the last 20 years. Like, so I don't like to do too much without speaking to him about it or whatever. But at the same time, he has full respect for me and what I do. And even though he doesn't agree with it, some of it, he still just stands back and lets you do it. Like,
good relationship to have.
You needed a relationship to have too, by the way. And, you know, I think it's so important with that. And this is something like I preached about those, and I'm brutal for it myself. It's so good to have that one person that you can ring, be it any issue at all, something that you can just say, that's on my head now, I need to ring him. Training, it could be training, it could be anything, but just have that person just go, yeah, you're right, okay, no, perfect. Just a little bit of reassurance, and it's such an important thing to have.
My wife was in labour with the twins, and I wasn't allowed in because of COVID, and I come home and I rang him, and I was like, I need to go for a run, I can't think straight, and he was like, go for a run. I said, I can't, all my neighbours know that my wife's in labour, like, I can't be seen walking out the front in shorts and a t-shirt. And he said, go drive somewhere that it's a 1 mile lap. Take your phone, and at least you know you're only ever 5 minutes from the car. And that's what I've done. I went away, and I actually remember sending my wife a photo to save this and show it to the twins when they're old, to be like, mommy's in labour and daddy's out running. he knew I needed to go out, you know.
Yeah, good for the head. Just another one, like we had Anthony O'Brien on last week, and obviously his Instagram journey and stories is kind of a quite a good watch, but you're in a similar boat, like Instagram and your documenting of your running plays a big part in your day-to-day running as well, doesn't it?
Now, I have a question before you go on, all right? You have 30,000 followers, which you celebrated only very recently. Now, we were talking with Anthony last week and ourselves, and how hard it is to grow your followers in Instagrams and stuff like that. So, like, for you, the amount of effort that goes in, and, like, stories are very, like, you have to have a relatable story. You have to have that. That's going to help people anyway, and you have that story, so there's no issues there. But, like, is it something you're subconsciously going, I have to put out a video now, I have to put out a video, I have to do this, or do you just do it organically?
No, you don't have to, but you have to think, right? Like, in this whole journey, as you call it, right? Everyone's got a journey. You both lads have one too. I don't know it from start to finish. But along it, you're going to remember people who helped you. You're going to remember people who stood forward and was like, come here to talk to you. I'm going to help you. I'm going to talk you through this. And the brilliant thing now is by taking 60 seconds out of your day, like at the end, I put up a quick video every morning after my run. And whilst I'm running for 15 mile on my own, it's not very difficult to come up with something that you're probably telling yourself. Look, life's not that bad. Life's good. Life can get better. Life's tough with kids and jobs, but it's okay. 60 seconds. Take 60 seconds. And you've no idea the impact that could have. If that only helps one single person to just go, do you know what? I'm exactly where this dude was. I'm sitting here and I used to be great at football and now I'm fat and I'm drinking pints. Why can't I do it? Do you know? And it's honestly so nice. Like, it blows me away sometimes when you get messages from people saying, thanks very much. And you're like, thanks for what? This sport has been so, so good to me my whole life, through bad times, good times, losing my friends when I was a teenager, through my kids being born and in hospital and my wife being out. So many good things. And to me, it's like, we have an opportunity now with social media to just put up, it's your phone, your phone's never out of your hand. Put up a little something positive and help some other poor creator that's coming around the corner just needing a little nudge, needing a little pat on the back. That's all. Yeah. So for me, I don't find it difficult at all. As long as you just, if you remain honest and you remain straight, it's very, very easy. Very easy.
I think as well, like, I know, like, even myself here, like, you know, you think at times, like, Jesus, people are sick of hearing from me or whatever it is. But, like, I think if people are into running or into the, you know, the kind of the story, as you say, like, people will search for these things and want to see these things. I think anyway, you know, like as I said about YouTube, I would spend every night of the week watching YouTube videos about whatever it is. And I just, you know, you're feeding on it almost, you know?
Yeah. And if you don't like it, like, without being cheeky or anything, I have got some backlash to you. If you've 30,000 people looking at something, you're not going to keep all of them happy. And different things you say, there's people like you. I've got some shitty messages as well. In a polite way, you just say, look, feel free to not follow along.
I suppose that is the sad thing about, you know, again, like, you're putting your content out there, you're putting yourself out there. And then you have this kind of risk as well, I suppose, where you do have that element. But look, I think you're inspiring more than you're annoying anyway, I suppose, in fairness, you know.
I'm going to throw another question at you. Sorry, no, let me get it there now. So this is from Mark Copeland.
Yeah.
So this is the message. I've been fortunate enough to run with Michael, we call him Mick, and his guidance for a year, and he helped me PB in a 5K and 10K and half marathon in that year. I know you run daily with a runner and friend, you, and long runs at the weekend with a group. Would you ever consider or think about looking to join up with a group like the Phoenix Park group, i.e. Gary, Anthony and all that group, to help push and shave more time off, or are you happy to run around Newry?
I have been... It's a privilege, right? I've been asked by Gary and the lads a few times to go down, and honestly, yes, it would be great for me, because again, you don't want to sound cocky or anything, but around here I don't have anyone that puts me into an uncomfortable position. If I'm out on a 23 mile run, it's like, right, if I feel tired I can chill out, if I feel strong. So that would be great. In my family and work-life balance at the minute, Gary and the lads in Phoenix Park run on a Saturday morning at 7:30. Probably take me an hour to an hour and 20 minutes to get there. It'll be a 2 and a half hour run. it can turn out a 4 or 5 hour round trip for me to do one run.
And with the lads, you're going to be chatting around for an hour and a half to 2 hours afterwards, you know. So it's not that you're going to get back into a car.
It is something I would like to, and I actually was texting Gary last week about it. Like, so it's something that I would like to, I would love to jump in with the boys 100%, but it just doesn't work with everything else I have going on at the moment. You know, I can't take a Saturday off work.
Mm-hmm.
I've got regular clients in every Saturday, so the boys do their training on Saturday, I do mine. So I would, I'm hunting around trying to find someone that will even come on a bicycle with me on a Sunday just for company, you know, and try and push you and end you on.
Actually, I might jump in there because, like, funny enough, we've spoken about this a bit as well. At the moment, just because of, you know, I'm training for Manchester Marathon at the moment, and just because a few of my running partners are either injured or on different targets right now, but, like, I've found myself running a lot of my runs on my own, and the long runs for me are, like, you need to be mentally tough, I think, anyway. Like, how do you find that, and how do you make yourself get through 20 miles or whatever? You know, you're saying there you run 22 or 24 miles at the weekend. How do you keep that, you know, that focus and that mental toughness to keep going?
The ball, right? And I have come across really nice, really calm and all the rest. See, the minute I start running, I am a nutcase, like a nutcase. I would love you to see inside my head for those 24 miles, who I'd be thinking about, what I'd be thinking about. All of those boys in Phoenix Park, I'd be thinking about trying to kick their asses in the next marathon. So you got to find your own, you know, like I said, yeah, I have nothing but respect for every one of those dudes. They're unbelievable athletes, but at the same time, I also want to beat them. I want to beat all of them. I picture myself doing it. I watch what they're doing and I'm like, well, I can do it better. I can do it more. I don't see you knocking out 180Ks a week. I spend all of those runs on your own. Make up your own stuff. It doesn't matter what it has to be.
It's like, I watch a lot of golf, and it's like Tiger Woods used to make up these things in his head, as in things that actually never happened, and just to give him that edge over somebody else. And do you know what I mean? You're like, oh, you stood on my line, don't you? And he, nowhere near it, but like Tiger Woods just made these things up in his head before going into the tournament, so that he's like, he's my vendetta, I'm going after him. And like,
that's what you have to, you got to do the same. You have to sit down, and you may make it up or whatever. Like, I do say things like, oh, they want to see me do bad. And someone might say, who's there? Who wants to see you do bad? And I'd be like, I don't know, but someone does. Someone, you know what I mean? So when you're out on your own, make up whatever you have to and do whatever you have to. But look, it's always great to have company, but it doesn't work out like that, especially in running. And when you come to marathon day, you're not going to have your buddies to hold your hand. You're not going to, if I'm racing against all those Dublin lads, they're not there to help me. They're not there to share their drinks and gels with me. So come the day of the marathon, if I spent a couple of $100 that year on my own, then I'm better off. Like, I think I'm mentally stronger for having dealt with all that by myself.
100%.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
What's next, Sophie, Mick?
Boma, half marathon in 2 weeks' time.
And big goal this year is? What's the big marathon goals?
And always Dublin.
And is that the only one, or are you going to pencil in another?
So we have Oma half in 2 weeks, then 2 weeks later, London Marathon. Then I haven't said this yet, but I'm going to Cork Marathon.
World exclusive.
This is supposed to be a secret.
We let it as part of you. We bleep it.
So I'll be going to Cork. Then that is early June. Then June, July, and August, I just want to stack my mileage. I want to run 120-mile weeks, all being well, for 3 months. Then August, there is Antrim Coast Half Marathon.
Yeah.
That rolls into then Berlin Full, 5 weeks after Berlin, Dublin. And I think 5-6 weeks after that, Valencia.
A quick one, you mentioned Berlin, London. Six stars. Would that be in your...
See, there's too many of them in America.
Yeah.
Oh, and I just think it's so expensive. Like, this sport, people say it's cheap and it can be cheap. Like, Berlin Marathon entry for this year, something like €220, like. And then it's £1,000 for a hotel for the weekend. You know, there's £1,200. Then you take yourself there, eating, drinking, traveling, car parking. Last year, I think it cost about £2,000 to go do Berlin Marathon.
Mm.
You know, so to try and go to the majors to go around America, I have three kids to feed. If you want to, if you want to,
And a wife, mate. Don't forget about the
yeah,
wife.
and a lot of pair of runners to get through with that mileage as well, I'd say.
Yeah, so there's another thing, you know. So it's not, it is a cheap sport and it can be cheap, but when you're trying to run 4,500 miles a year and what, 5 marathons a year, maybe it can rack up.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Right, Mick. I look forward to the rest of this year to see. I penciled in for Cork. You're coming. We have the after party again this year, so we're penciling in for
We've a
that straight
seat
after.
on stage just here for you. Yeah.
But half of people might not understand me.
That's okay.
It's okay.
We'll get a
This is a
translator.
rehearsal now, you see. We're breaking you in gently.
I look forward to watching your story. To following you throughout the year and again to see, you know, the progression. And I do think there is more in you. I kind of like, you know, again with Gary and Judah and all the lads, you know, to see the battles between you for the year, I think it just helps drive each other on
Oh,
and, you
brilliant.
know,
Yeah.
be good
Thanks so
crack.
much. Yeah, it is good crack. That's it. You know, we're not enemies at all. We all have a bit of crack and we slag each other on different things. And even on the day in races and during races, we'll slag each other. But without these people, you would not achieve your best stuff. Like, you know, you need these better people than you to drag the best out of you.
No, Mick, we had Anthony on last week, right? And there was a lot of mentions about Gary O'Hanlon last week as well. And there's a lot this week. So there's a very healthy rivalry going on right now between Anthony and Gary, who will be the most listened to podcast. So I think you should join that competition now as well and beat them and that.
Oh,
So
you know, Anthony's the new kid on the block with the dreadlocks and the muscles and
but you're the 30,000 follower, right?
So we'll watch the space on the listenership as well. There might be a healthy rivalry between each three or four as well there.
We'll
Yeah, go
announce it
on.
out. We'll announce it at Cork Marathon. All right, who was the top at that stage? All right, so to June 2nd to try to trump each other.
Shit.
We'll have to
What?
get
That'd be
a special award maybe.
good. Yeah.
Mick, thanks a million. Honest to God, it's been a really fast flowing, this hasn't stopped since we started, and we just bounced around so many topics there, and still there's so much more we could have even dived into and didn't. So, brilliant. And I think this will go down really well. So appreciate your time as well. And again, as Damon said, the very
Thanks a
best of
lot.
luck, very best of luck for your targets during the year, which is does quite a lot.
Yeah, thanks for having me, lads. Honestly, I really appreciate it. And like I said, to be on with names like some of the guys you've had and named, it's an honor. So thank you.
No problem,
Appreciate it.
anytime. We tell you to make cheers.
Thanks a lot, lads.
Okay, so again, thanks a brilliant minute to Mick there, fact-filled interview there again, and a great story. And I think that's, when you hear his story, it's kind of inspiring, really, actually, in fairness, and as I said in the interview, I know plenty of people who unfortunately have lost their way and haven't come back to the sport or any sport, I suppose, and put on the weight like he did and find a battle to get back really hard. So I think hopefully people listening in might take a bit of inspiration from that, from Mick. And I'll be honest with you again, similar to Anthony from last week, when we finished up the interview the other day, he stayed on chatting to us for a long, long time, and we spoke a lot about inspiring people and, helping people and just a general good guy, I think, in fairness, who wants people to do well. So I was very, very enjoyed it a lot, as I said, and enjoyed him as well, in fairness, a good guy.
100%, lovely guy. Sound at the start was a little off, just, you know, obviously, but look, just people look, that's unfortunately everything. But look, I honestly think, you know, I actually took so much from it when I did. And I was actually really talking to Sarah earlier today. I was like, you know, Jesus, I was like, why? Even ourselves, Brian, you know, sometimes we always think about ourselves as opposed to the message we're trying to get across, you know. And I think sometimes we have to worry more about the message we're trying to help that one person, as opposed to talking shite, which we are doing, by the way, to try to reach 1,000 people. And it's just that one person that's all you want to reach. And I do, like, we talk about that in it, and I just thought it was brilliant, and I took an awful lot from it. So I hope people really enjoyed it. And, you know, again, share it. Please share it. Get it out there, because I think this does deserve to get out there.
Yeah, agreed. So that, with that, it's another week down. Again, thanks to everybody. Make sure you enter the competitions. Make sure you share the podcast. Get on the YouTube channel. There's another competition going there. And again, tell your friends and share the word as well of the Runner's Diary. So till next week, hopefully we'll see you again soon, and talk to you then.
Good night.